Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Sam Amick is phenomenal. He really is. One of the best when it comes to the NBA. So when we get a chance to talk some hoops with him, I feel like every conversation I'm having now about NBA, we're starting to get a little bit more details. Probably next week we'll know just a little bit more of what the structure is going to look like for the NBA. But damn, we're getting freaking close. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised over the next couple of weeks. There's really over the next 2 weeks, let's say at most, there is legitimate framework of what the rest of the season is going to look like, when players are going to start reporting back to their, back to the training facility or back to their team. So that's the hope here for the next couple of weeks. Okay, so there's one thing that I mentioned that I wanted to ask Sam Amick, and then that I was going to just kind of hit on. We came back, Curtis. I got a question for you. First of all, Curtis,
what's up?
What are you doing for the weekend? You just kind of laying low? Do you get all 3 days off, or do you have to do anything?
No, I actually get the 3 days off since we're not doing anything on Monday over here. Usually I end up working these kind of holidays, but no, I didn't plan anything. But I've been doing a lot of working on my car and stuff on the weekends and stuff. I don't know. It's been okay. Fun. So probably just be hanging out, ordered some stuff, did that, and should be good. But no party plans or anything like that.
Jess, do you work your other job at all over the next 3 days?
Yeah, I work tomorrow and I work Monday.
Okay, so tomorrow, Monday. So you're still going to be working for the most part. This will be
I'm partying all day Sunday, baby. That's what I'm going to make it up.
This is going to be the first time since the quarantine that we didn't go 5 days, right? I think every other time has been 5 days. And then I was doing the thing with Sedano for The Last Dance, so we were doing that on Sunday night. So be nice to kind of just kick back for 3 days. But, okay, so one of the things that Sam Amick mentioned, Curtis, this is what I was going to ask you. Why would a team like the Golden State Warriors, who have, obviously tanked the season, they also had injuries. So, I mean, it's not just that they were trying to lose, but they reached the point where they're like, okay, we know we don't have a shot. And I'm sure they're, focused on this draft pick coming up. I don't know what it is, but if there's a scenario that plays out in the NBA where they decide, hey, let's allow every team to have a shot at that final playoff seed, that just does not sit well. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Curtis, are you down to see that? I guess it would be exciting, but I don't want to see that.
No, when he mentioned that, it was kind of strange, of course, and of all the teams, it being the Warriors, the one team where the coach admitted, they've already checked out.
That's it. Season's over.
But besides that, it's like, my thought is they just want to get as much, like, I know that you guys discussed that there's that tournament thing they were throwing around or whatever. My guess is they just want more games to get more income from. That's my only thought. But yeah, it seems weird. And the fact that if they do this, it kind of cheapens the postseason, at least to me.
All right, so let's see. At LAL Never says yes, because only playing 5 games. I put up the question of what do you think of this play-in tournament for the final spot. He liked it. He said yes, because only playing 5 games would cause half of the league to play only their G League players unless they have something meaningful to play for. Well, listen, if the TV money, if they're not going to hit that 70-game threshold, like Sam Amick was mentioning, he talked about how the Lakers, which I actually never knew that. I didn't know that, but they're 100% right. I mean, Jess, how many games would we be looking at the TVs? And I'm like, it's on Spectrum. The game's not on. You're like, yeah, this one's only on TNT, or it's only on ESPN. So we didn't have the local feed. So I don't think they're going to hit that 70-game threshold anyways. If that's the case, please don't. Let's not have these teams that have no shot have an opportunity to get in. I used this term yesterday. I just don't want anything gimmicky. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to look back at this, and I do want to protect, as best as they can, the integrity of the playoffs, of the postseason. A team that has 15, 20 wins, no, they shouldn't have. They definitely shouldn't have any impact on the playoffs or have an opportunity to face the Lakers, let's say, for example, in the first round. Okay, so we got some sad news earlier today. Jerry Sloan. So, obviously, a great, great coach for the Utah Jazz. Coached the Jazz actually for 23 years. Passed away at age 78 after a five-year battle with Parkinson's disease, and Lewy body dementia. Man, that news was extremely sad when I saw that. I felt really, really bad. That's one of those coaches, which, by the way, there's a few coaches who had incredible careers, never won a championship. George Karl is a name, Don Nelson, Rick Adelman. There's some coaches out there. Con Fitzsimmons, I think, was another coach that, you know, had a lot of success but never won a championship. That was one of those coaches, especially getting a chance to watch the last documentary, The Last Dance, that documentary, this past Sunday. I remember, I think it was on Monday where I came on and I was saying, you know, Sloan didn't know that he looked at the final box score. He's like, what do we have? We only had 54 points. Is this the final box score? You know, I laughed at that. Or the moment where he didn't know Michael Jordan had the flu that game. This was post game, right? That was one of those coaches where, I don't know, you had no problem rooting for him. I had no problem rooting for the Jazz back in 96. Or 97 and 98 when they were facing the Bulls. I wanted to see somebody else win a championship. I knew Michael Jordan was the greatest, but you didn't mind rooting for a Karl Malone, a John Stockton, or a Jerry Sloan. Greg Popovich, Adrian Wojnarowski put this out, Spurs coach Greg Popovich on Jerry Sloan. He was a mentor for me from afar until I got to know him, a man who suffered no fools. He possessed a humor, often disguised, and had a heart as big as the prairie. So obviously some nice words from one of the greatest coaches ever, Jamal Crawford. Who else? Scottie Pippen. I mean, I just saw all these tweets where there were those out there that were giving their respect to Jerry Sloan. So that's obviously unfortunate news. Some more news, and I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here. I just want to give respect towards, you know, those that obviously deserve the respect. I saw earlier today as well, Knicks legend, Georgetown coach Patrick Ewing tests positive for the coronavirus. Ewing said in a statement, "I want to share that I've tested positive for COVID-19. This virus is serious and should not be taken lightly. I want to encourage everyone to stay safe and take care of yourselves and your loved ones. Now more than ever, I want to thank the healthcare workers and everyone on the front lines. I'll be fine and we'll all get through this." So, Patrick Ewing, obviously the great legend, New York Knick, who we also got a chance to see over these last couple of weeks when they were showing The Last Dance, test positive for COVID-19. So hopefully he makes a full recovery. Last Dance numbers. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. They averaged 5.6 million viewers per episode. It's the most watched ESPN documentary of all time. Jesse, did you know that? Did you know that it's the most watched ESPN documentary of all time? You see that?
I didn't know that, but I mean, out of the numbers that it was coming out, and because everyone's at home, it's not surprising.
Well, I also thought it was must watch TV for me too. Like, I was looking forward to the Last Dance the same way I was looking forward to, you know, it could be a Netflix series, Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad. Even when those were, you know, you knew those were once a week, right? If you were watching them live, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul was more binge watching, but Breaking Bad, every week you were waiting like, oh my gosh, can't wait for next week. I'm surprised a documentary caught me like that. Like, it had an incredible, incredible amount of hype behind it, and it actually lived up to the expectations. I don't think anybody walked away from that documentary saying that they felt like they wasted 10 hours of their life. You know what I mean?
No, they're yeah. Fools whoever thinks that way.
Well, but some people weren't crazy about it. Some people didn't like that Michael Jordan, they felt like, had the final word on everything, which he did. But nobody walked away saying, I would have rather done something else with my time. I think everybody was appreciative of that documentary.
Yeah, for the most part, if you're one of the people who who were kind of salty, you didn't watch it from the very beginning. Anyway.
Besides who?
Pippen.
Pippen wasn't too happy.
He didn't like it.
I don't think Isaiah was too happy either. There are a couple people that you couldn't 100% please. Okay, so Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was on the morning show with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ a little bit earlier today. We come back, got some of those clips. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, best things to do this Memorial Day weekend. Beaches for recreation, swimming, surfing, running, and walking. I was looking up things to do in LA, things that are actually open. Trails and parks, I guess, some of them are open, some of them aren't. Got to stay 6 feet apart. Golf courses, they're open, so great time to be outdoors to hit some balls. What do we got here weather-wise? Is it a pretty solid weekend weather-wise?
I think so. I mean, there's been a lot of wind recently. That's kind of the only downer that I've
but
seen.
But I think we got some. Let me look this up here real quick. Actually, yeah, we're good. 75 tomorrow, 80 on Sunday, 84 on Monday. We got some good weather. Got some good weather coming up. Okay, let's do this. Earlier this morning, Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, was on the morning show. Keyshawn LZ, Travis and LZ. By the way, Major League Baseball, I've been saying this three straight days. Don't freaking screw this up. Just get it right. Figure it out. Get some damn baseball games in. If health officials say that you can go, do not be the sport that doesn't come out and figures out a way to get this done and allows other things to affect whether to get this 82 games in. Here's Dave Roberts, manager of the Dodgers, on the players and the owners still working out their compensation.
Well, I think right now they're still trying to work out compensation part of it. And there was that 67-page document on protocol that I think that the players got to get through and agree upon as well. You know, I think that's something that really some of these things seem outlandish, but obviously in this time, this climate, nothing is too crazy. But I still think that some of these things can be compromised.
And then here's by the way, on just Dave Roberts talking about some of these things still need to be compromised. When I say just figure it out, what I'm referring to there, I'm not saying that it's not complicated. I'm not saying that players aren't going to lose money. I'm not going to say that obviously owners aren't losing money as well. And I don't even have a side on either one. I want to see the players come out feeling good about this. I don't want them to feel like they're in a compromised position or they don't trust the owners, which it seems like that's the case in baseball. When I say I just want them to figure it out, there's something bigger at stake here. And I don't like when we make comparisons to the 94-95 strike. This is different. This is different. This isn't the time right now to be to have a perception of your sport as being greedy and selfish. Here's Dave Roberts on the struggles of keeping players ready while in quarantine.
It's hard because this delay has, you know, you guys know players work on routines. And when you can't give a start time, a definitive start time, it kind of messes up your team because you gear up towards a certain date. And so I think more difficult has been the physical toll or the mental toll on the players. And so me as a coach trying to keep these guys positive, keeping, you know, the day-to-day. So I think that it's just not as much of the tactical side of it, the mechanical. It's more of just keeping the mental side because I think the physical, they're kind of really doing a good job of keeping their bodies and their arms in shape. So I like a lot of it. I guess, you know, honestly, LZ, managing people is mental for the most part anyway, and I'm doing a lot of that.
All right. That's Dave Roberts. So a couple other things I want to hit on here. From a Dodgers perspective, yesterday we had Pedro Moro on, and conversation was great. I mean, I loved kind of looking into how the shortened season will affect the Dodgers. And obviously, there's your manager that is talking about how it is difficult. You're trying to make sure that the players are staying ready. There's only so much you can do. And for each one of these players, and this isn't just Major League Baseball, but the NBA as well, NFL, they can always go to the facility. Well, they don't have that ability anymore. At least currently, they don't. I know for the Lakers, they're just starting to get back into it. But it's just different, the social distancing, the just kind of being able to go freely whenever you want, work out whenever you want. So it is different. This, I think, is a interesting part of the conversation they were having with Dave Roberts. Baseball needs to be open-minded to keep sports fans locked in.
Baseball has an opportunity is once we, you know, hopefully we get this thing going, we're back in people's homes. People aren't going to be able to watch the games at Dodger Stadium. But I think that we do got to come at it from the lens of it's 3 hours. How can we take a Keyshawn Johnson who's watching baseball and say, okay, how can we capture him for 3 hours and make it fun for him? And so now you're starting to talk about, you know, miking players up, coaches up. And I just think that we all need to be open-minded to keep, to get not only baseball fans, but sports fans in general locked in and dialed in on baseball.
All right, final one I want to play. The different approach managing without fans. Here's Dave Roberts.
Doesn't change anything about my approach, but I can say this. It is different. And for me, obviously as a manager, I can say I can try to kind of frame it in a way that it shouldn't matter. It matters. I get it. But I think that once you acknowledge it, we all as a group collectively have to get past it because this is the way it is. It's the same for both teams, and we got to find a way that we're still competing. You know, you're still getting paid. You're still trying to win a championship. And, you know, what's funny is that my first day managing the Dodgers, I remember my first team meeting, I talked to the team and got in front of the guys and basically said that I want those gritty grinder players that that don't care if there's 50,000 fans at Dodger Stadium or no fans at Dodger Stadium. We play a certain brand of baseball, and whether it's game seven or spring training, that's how we play. I didn't foresee it might come to fruition that we have no fans in the stadium. But my message from the outset was, regardless of the stands, fans in the stands, we still play a certain brand of baseball. So that's my expectation.
All right, so the expectations, if and when we get baseball back, of course, for the Dodgers, it's going to be World Series or bust. Those are the expectations, and to have Dave Roberts join the morning show and be a part of 710 ESPN, obviously that's great insight and a great interview. We got halftime coming up next. Jesse and Curtis will hop in as well. Fellas, I got some interesting questions for you. I'm sure you guys have some for me. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
This is it, fellas. This is it. Long, hard working week. 1 hour to go. 1 hour to go.
It's weird.
Curtis,
to
I know
me,
you're
man.
Ready. I know you're ready.
Yeah, it's also weird, though, because I think this is the first kind of get together holiday during this quarantine that we've
had.
That's
true.
Like, you know, this is kind of one of those party holidays. So, I mean, we had Cinco de Mayo that we kind of missed.
We also had Easter. I think Easter happened, like, within a month.
But, like, this is the thing where you get a lot of people together and drink. You know what I mean?
You feel, Jess, when you said Easter, I feel like on Easter, that was kind of like the thick of nobody getting together, right?
Very
and
true.
I feel yeah. like right now, don't you guys feel like the tide is churning a little bit? Wait, didn't you say, Curtis, you were driving in today? You were hitting a lot of traffic?
Yeah, I almost missed our thing earlier because every day this week, I've slowly been getting more and more traffic. It's still
I'm
not,
feeling it too.
It's not what it used to be.
I'm starting to feel it a little bit.
It's not what it used to be, but it's at least, you know, I was like, well, I left the same time I always leave, and I almost didn't make it here. So it's definitely getting worse and worse every day, and I think it's just going to continue.
Well, that's one thing I'm not looking forward to when I'm getting.
Oh, no, because I got mad. Usually I'm sitting in 30 minutes, 40 minutes traffic. You guys know my drive. I sat in a 5-minute traffic jam and I was getting mad. I was like, oh geez. I can't imagine. I'll tell you the
one positive, and I know this is just it is what it is, right? But man, just to get people going back to work, I can't imagine how long people, you know, there's a whether they were furloughed, they were fired, whatever the case is, like just seeing that okay, sort of things are starting to open up. Country needs it, man. It's crazy. I mean, it is. Bill Shaken's going to come on at 8:30, and he's going to break down just in California what's happened and the effect from a sports perspective. But I'm starting to feel. I was driving from Pasadena back here to you know, obviously my place in Silver Lake. I was hitting traffic. I was like, wait, what's going on here? I haven't hit any traffic in 2 months, 2+ months.
Crazy. I haven't had a traffic hit anything lately, but I'm dreading it from whenever that day happens because I know it's going to happen. And when I forget about it, when I don't look, I just like, it'll be no traffic. I'll leave and I'll be sitting in traffic. And
it'll be the most inconvenient day.
Yeah, it will be. It really will be.
Curtis, why don't you get things started?
All right. Well, I was working hard prepping for our show earlier this morning,
Curtis.
At noon.
Good work, buddy.
You know, hanging out,
look
doing nothing.
Look at you, Curtis. Look at you.
I was on Twitter and I saw, so I follow an account specifically for alerting you if there's a car chase going on.
Ooh.
So there's an account on Twitter.
Many
that just do car chases?
Yes, and I followed a specific one that I've been following forever. Because
is it that Pharaoh Space God guy?
No, like it's one of the...
Might as well be
Pharaoh,
him.
Yeah.
Might as well be him.
Your guy? No, it's some scanner app or something. But I saw that was a big car chase, and anytime I see that... you guys know I don't have cable or anything like that. I find a way to pull up that chase live. No matter what I'm doing, I will, you know, jump to a car chase. And this thing had everything, man. It ended in South Central. So a couple stole a truck. They avoided many spike strips. And it ended when some truck in front of them basically boxed them in to end the chase and sacrificed their car for it.
Wow.
And they got them, but it was very Grand Theft Auto like in the game. It was a very crazy chase, but you know, anytime this happens, I love watching.
I was gonna say, I take it, Jess, that if it's on TV or you know that it's going on, you're locked in, you gotta watch the whole thing?
Oh yeah, I'm locked in. I'd love car chases.
Okay, what's the longest you guys have sat watching a car chase?
An hour and a half.
Yeah, mine too, about an hour. And the
Curtis
best
didn't
part,
hesitate. Jess, Curtis didn't hesitate. He's an hour and a half.
Well, and what's funny is
the question was coming.
I was telling Jess this kind of in the break. My last job down the street in Burbank, it was it's a news talk, and we would interrupt the show, and the host would do pretty much a live play-by-play of a car chase any day, anytime we're on the great Tim Conway. Great
Why
guy.
Are we like this? Yeah. Why are we like this? And it's true. Yeah. It's yep. I mean, this isn't you know, this obviously isn't shocking news, but that's who we are. You know, when you're driving and you see a couple cars, police cars pulled over and you're curious, what's going on there? You know, you want to see. And everybody, that's just, I guess, naturally, that's how we're wired and that's how we are. But, you know, I've never actually been a huge car chase person. Like, I see that it's on. You guys know, the TVs, you got John and Sean that are right next to each other, right? So they have their two TVs. Sometimes they'll have it on news. And there's a lot of times there'll be a car chase. And I'll probably sit in there for like 2-3 minutes. But after that, I'm like, all right, I got
to
go.
Oh, man, I'll pull up the news station's feed and listen to...
I'll pull up a chair. I'll make some popcorn. I'll get everything going.
Homie and the chopper over at Channel 7. He's great. Yeah.
Wasn't that an Anchorman where that was part of his strategy, wasn't it? The car chase?
Yeah, oh, and yeah. Anchorman 2. There was that was essentially
right.
was that, their
That's how they got their ratings at 2 a.m. or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, that's how it was. They had a car chase and they went through it live, and basically that's how they blew
like,
up.
We don't carry car chases. He's like, leave it on.
And Mason and Ireland fans know well that John loves car chases as much as I do. And he wanted to he had the idea of having a whole network dedicated to it because he knows.
I think I've heard
you know
him say
people
that before.
Many
yeah.
times. He loves them. You know people will watch it because I know people will watch it. I don't
but
know
I'm really surprised there hasn't been one yet.
I'm sure there are channels right now on YouTube and channels on, you know, Twitter, like you just mentioned, that have alerts where it's just car chases. Just
a lot of
chases.
News stations will pull up a live feed, like is their second. You know, a lot of stations will put their secondary stuff on YouTube, the secondary broadcast and stuff. Sometimes they'll just put the raw chase feed, and you'll hear the guy in the helicopter doing it. So it's can't get enough of it, man.
Have you ever been around a car chase? Like, have you ever been on the freeway?
No, that's on my bucket list.
No, yeah, I haven't.
Once they did drive by. Because you know, I was down in Burbank when I was working down the street. Once we went outside, and the chase did go past us on the 5 freeway, but I wasn't close to it. But you heard the choppers, and you know you knew it was there.
I'm waiting for that day where I see a car chase outside my house or outside of work, because the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go outside, I'm going to grab some of that gravel, and I'm going to put it in a little container, and I'm going to save that for my kids and tell them, I witnessed that car chase.
Listen, you know what? I forgot the best part of this car chase.
Both of you just in love with the car chases.
Forgot the best part of this chase. There was two other things. A bystander ran up to the truck and handed a driver a bottle of liquor. And then later on in the chase, another guy randomly threw a paintball in the onto the windshield on the driver's side and put paint all over it.
I remember
it was a big one, man.
I actually remember one of the last times I worked on the morning show. There was a car chase that happened, and we were like calling it out live. It was like at 7 a.m, and this guy was—I don't remember where—he was naked. He stole a truck, this white truck, and oh yeah, it took over the show. We had that was like the 45 minutes of I think the second hour or something like that. Car chases are great.
Maybe we should
do that. Listen, Curtis, if one goes on when we're doing an evening show one of these days, let's go right to it. Okay.
I've had some practice doing this.
Put on the breaking news and then just go right to it.
Go.
Digest. Yeah. What do you got over there?
Yeah. Well, when I used to work at a news talk station, it's the same thing. Everyone literally stops, circles around the TV, and just until it's done. And it's fantastic. I love car chases. It's a very, very united front. All right. So I'm kind of playing off.
Brings everybody together.
Not an American. Car chases. Love car chases.
It's very true. Yesterday we did the one hit wonder game. We had all these songs that were just one hit wonders, and that kind of led me to thinking. I want to ask you guys this: if you guys had a chance to be a musician, but you had one of two routes, and it was either going to go this route or that route, which one would you choose? The first route is the one hit wonder. You have a, let's say X amount of years in the industry, but you never really make
you're
it.
You're known for that one song.
But you're always going to be known for that one song. Kind of like Vanilla Ice. Always known for that one song. Or would you take a level of, mediocrity and basically have really good music, but no one really knows who you are? You never really make it. But you have, you have a long career. You're fine. You're doing good, but you never hit that stardom.
Okay, I got a question. Question on this. If you take the one that's more mediocre, what do you mean? Like, do the people who do like your music really respect your music?
You have a fan base. It's small, but you have a fan base.
And a steady check.
It's very close. A steady check. Yeah, you're not struggling or anything. You're paying the bills, but you're not headlining Coachella one day. You're not playing at Staples Center.
The one hit wonder
have a chance. Yeah, they do, because I've seen multiple one-hit wonders play a it's not headlining, but they're playing a slot at Coachella.
You're like Rebecca Black, a Friday song.
Well, it's Friday. Listen,
Gautier, Curtis, someone I used to know is a good one.
Make it down on Friday.
Curtis, I know you and I have been working on our band for years, and we still feel like it's going to pop. So, I mean, we're getting there. So don't – I don't know which strategy you take on this, but –
We have the Mouse Rat Band model.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get that one yet?
Jess, I don't think I always would rather have something long term than short term. I'd always look at something big picture than like for today. It's like, let me think of something for the next, 20 years, 30, whatever the case is, right? But I don't know, the way you described that band, it doesn't sound that promising. I think I'm going one hit wonder.
Oh, all right.
Wow, you surprised me.
Yeah, I really thought.
I'm a little surprised too. But the way you were explaining it, I thought to my head, like, okay, it doesn't sound like it's like a sustainable career. Like, it doesn't sound like it's something that, I don't know. Yeah,
you're
the one hit wonder. Let me grab that.
You're like, you would be like the Jeremy Lin. One big year, and
that's
then
a good one.
Keep it consistent.
Actually,
the
sports analogy is a great analogy.
That's a great one.
Recent.
But let me tell you about Jeremy Lin. Do you guys remember? And he was a one hit wonder. But do you remember that hit?
I bought
into Linsanity.
Wow,
bro, when he had that window, I'll never forget this game.
It was actually a week.
It was on Valentine's Day. I'm pretty sure it was on Valentine's Day. It was New York in Toronto. And it was the height of Linsanity. And there's Jeremy Lin dribbling the ball. I think the game is tied. And he's just sizing up whoever's guarding him. and pulls up. Who's guarding him? I'm trying to think who was guarding him. It's irrelevant. Pulls up for like a 20, 22 footer, 21 footer. I think it was a two. I don't think it was three. Basically at the buzzer, hits it, and all of Toronto, the fan base, is going nuts. When Jeremy Lin hit, Jeremy Lin freaking hit.
That was, this was in New York? I think that was maybe Melo that was guarding him.
It was in Toronto.
Oh.
Lin was rock. You know, he was still playing for the New York Knicks. So it was Lin. I forget who he hit the shot off of, but that was one of those moments. Listen, if you take Jeremy Lin's 30 seconds of fame, or a player that played in the league for, let's say, 10 years and was like a journeyman, God, that's a great question.
Another one's,
I think I'm taking Jeremy Lin.
Tim Tebow in the NFL. Had one big year, and then after that, it was it.
Which one are you taking, Jess?
I'm taking the one-hit wonder.
Curtis, which one are you taking?
I am all about comfortability, being secure, and I've thought about this a lot just growing up. I don't know if I'd like being famous. I think it would just kind of like be like more of a trouble than anything. So I think I'd take the consistent career and have that consistent check and have people leave me alone.
Well, and I think the one-hit wonder definitely falls along the line of like people will always label you as that. That's it.
You know what? Normally, I'm with Curtis. I would kind of been like, nah, I'll settle my mediocrity and just live my life. But I think having that one-hit wonder, you just if you learn to live with it and you embrace it and you roll with it, I think you can have like a good time. So I think I would take that one-hit wonder and I just roll with it and I'd be like, yeah, that's me. You want to hear it? And, you know, just get into it. You know, so I think that's.
I think you could embrace it, but think about it. Like a year later, you're like still this. 4 years later, you're like, oh my God, this is the only way they know me. 10 years later,
yeah, I couldn't do that.
Boy, I already said that I'm going to do it. But, you know, I like the sports analogy. I do like the Jeremy Lin.
So I looked up that that game you were talking about, Alan. It looks like it was he was on Jose Calderon.
Oh, that was on Jeremy Lin. Jose Calderon. That's exactly right. Okay, so here's a question I got for you guys. So here we have this three-day weekend, sort of, Jesse. Sort of for you, three-day weekend. But I'll just ask you guys.
Rub it in.
Hypothetically speaking. All right. So there are certain businesses that do this, and there are certain countries around the world that have kind of a similar strategy. We're going to have Monday off, obviously. So the question I'll ask you guys, would you rather work 5 8-hour days or 4 10-hour days? So would you rather basically just try and bunch up all the work that you would do in 5 days into 4 days, or would you just, you like the way it is right now, you work 5 days a week and you leave it as that. Jess, why don't you go first? Which one would you prefer?
I would take the 4 10-hour days. Now, all of this does kind of include what kind of work you're doing.
Right, but you can't do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I think even then I would take the four-day, 10-hour weeks, just because I feel that the Friday is, you know, a half weekend as it is. Why not go all the way, make it a full weekend and just give everyone the day off?
Curtis, what would you do?
Now, my question is it like any job, or are you saying like right now, like if I had to do that now kind of thing? Are you just more of a
– any job. Like I would say when I was on the – and this isn't probably the best example either, but when I was on the business side, I would always, you know, it's almost as if you were always working more than 8 hours. Just you kind of – you have to get it done. And I think that's part of the process. I mean, even in this job, it's if I was held to an hours, hey, you have to work this many hours. You know, I'm on salary, so it's different. But it'd be like, well, I can't get my job done. You know, there's just you gotta put it together. But most jobs, people work 9 to 5, 5 days a week. So the question kind of relies more on: would you rather get it all done in 4 days, but you're working 10-hour days, and then you get an extra day off, or would you rather spread it out the way it is?
I just know, like for me, if I did that here, I'm out with the 10 hours because for me, that's 12 with the driving on top of it. Mm. But because I take that into account, because for me, it's like when I go to work, the second I leave the house, I feel like I'm in that, all right, I'm going to work mode. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I find it sometimes tough to get through a 6 hour, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, I can barely get through this. I'd rather break it up and have something consistent, but also not be here so long, you know?
I think, you know, it's funny. I'm with you, Jess. I'm with you. I give me the 4 days. Give me just freaking, let me crank out everything I need to do in 4 days, and then I'll see you guys in 3 days. Like, I'll take that all day long over the, I guess you could say, 9 to 5. But everybody has a different preference. That's why when I bring this up, literally, if you line up 5 people, I think 3 people would go one way, 2 would go the other.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely on, like, the preference of how you're doing. But I'll take those 2 hours a day and to get a whole extra day off.
I'm with you.
I'm with that. I'm
all right. Good stuff, fellas. Thank you. All right.
For sure.
All right. We come back. NFL is experimenting on some rules. Okay. I could go into what they're experimenting on. They want to create a booth umpire and a senior technology advisor. This is kind of a preseason experiment. They're experimenting on eliminating onside kicks. But there's one thing that I think the NFL really needs to do to kind of help just the league in general. And I'm talking about actual in-game scenarios and situations that would be so much better for the league. And I think most fans would agree. And it goes past just the NFL. Let's talk about that when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Curtis, at any point, if a car chase goes down in the next 35 minutes or so, just jump in, okay? You have full reign to jump in. That's with car chase, car chase stories. It is. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that.
Hit you with, you know, one of these, like, breaking news. We got a car chase going on. Kind of things or what?
I don't know what that one was. Whatever that one. Get, like, the most generic breaking news you can get. By the way, I don't know how much you guys are watching sports, but I will tell you this. Every time I watch sports – oh, I'm sorry, not how much you guys are watching news. Every time I watch news, it's like every story is breaking news. I'm like, that's not breaking news. You don't have to have the red ticker every time breaking news. That's the same news that you've been reporting on for the last month. Everything is breaking news.
Breaking news, so, dinosaurs went extinct due to comet kind of thing?
Literally everything is breaking news. All right, so I mentioned this. NFL is experimenting on some ideas. So they want to create a booth umpire and a senior technology advisor. This is a preseason experiment. They also, instead of an onside kick late in the fourth quarter, teams would have the option for one offensive play from its 25-yard line. Would need to gain at least 15 yards to retain possession. That's another idea that they're obviously they're mulling over. I think they actually were saying you get two. You can do this twice in a game. So if you're Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, instead of onside kicking, give us the ball on the 25-yard line, we got to gain 15 yards. We got to get to the 40 instead of an onside kick. But this is the one thing I want to throw out, and this is my feeling when it comes to all the sports. Okay, make changes. You want somebody to take a look at the reviews. You want another booth umpire, all that stuff. The one thing I don't understand with sports, and I'm talking the NBA and I'm talking the NFL specifically, why does it take so long to review the plays? I'm all about, hey, let's check to see that we make sure that we make the right call. That's why they're doing the reviews. There would be no booth reviews. There would be nobody in the NBA walking over to the sidelines, putting on the headphones, sitting there seeing every replay that comes to it. The one thing I can't understand, and you hear, if you guys listen, I'm sure a lot of you do, you listen to the Lakers radio broadcast with, you know, John Ireland and Michael Thompson. Every time they review, Michael Thompson, who, where we sit, there's a monitor right there. So whatever they're seeing, you have the ability to see as well. Or maybe it's on TNT or it's on Spectrum or ESPN, whatever the game is actually televised. They're showing the replay, just like you're watching at home. Within the first 30 seconds, Michael Thompson always says, okay, we already know the call. That's off Rondo's hand. Or, you know what, that one was off Patrick Beverley. It's Lakers ball. Instantly, you know what the call is. But in the NFL and the freaking NBA, with all these reviews that they have, with all these changes that they're always talking about, the one thing I don't understand is, why don't you just have one person? That's all they do. And they don't have to be sitting on the sideline. They don't have to be sitting. They could be up in a booth. They can, you know, in this case with the NBA, maybe it's coming from Secaucus, which is where the NBA headquarters are in, I think, New Jersey. why don't you just have one person for each game? Just say, okay, real quick, this person's on this. You don't even have to have the referee that's on the court determine what the play is. But all these changes, that's all great. Love the idea. You're trying to improve the game. Can you speed up the replays just a little bit, please? There's nothing worse than, you know, the crowd is into it. The momentum is there. Everybody's feeling good. Final 2 minutes of a game. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's an inbounds play and the defender tipped it and they don't know if the offensive player tipped it. And then 4 minutes go by and it completely kills the vibe in the arena. That's how I've always looked at replays. And I don't have a problem with them doing replays. I think a lot of fans appreciate the fact that they're trying to get the call right. But damn, does it take forever. Okay, and then one thing on the onside kick. So the onside kick, they want the ability of, instead of an onside kick, teams would have the option for an offensive play from the 25-yard line. They'd have to get 15 yards to retain possession. I kind of like that. I kind of like that. I mean, it's obviously going to give an advantage to teams that are better, that have a great offense. It's going to hurt teams that don't have that great of a defense. But to get 15 yards, that's not – and in one play, that's not a lock for a lot of these teams in the league. Okay, there might be teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, like I mentioned, that you know have the ability to get 15 yards and it's no problem, or it's Drew Brees and the Saints that can make it happen. Maybe they'll take their chances on that just because they feel like, okay, that's better than kicking off. Maybe that's a strategy they try literally just to have that much of an advantage over another team. But I thought that one was interesting. We hit on this yesterday, and I do want to continue on it just a little bit because it's just a little bit more information than we had, you know, the day before, and it's another opinion. So Marvin Lewis had some comments about these Rooney Rules incentive. This is with Stephen A. Smith on First Take. So I want to play this real quick. If you guys remember yesterday, as we're kind of staying in this NFL theme, yesterday we chatted a lot about this, and I thought it was actually a great conversation. Just I felt it was disrespectful for the NFL. They're trying to figure out ways to have more general managers and more coaches that are of minority. Okay, yeah, that shouldn't even be an issue, but of course it's an issue. We've talked at length that you have 70-80% of the players in the league are minority, yet only four coaches in the NFL are minority. So it's backwards. So they're offering incentives now to teams to hire a minority coach or a minority GM. Here's Marvin Lewis' comments about the Rooney Rule and Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
Believe it or not, I don't think that it was significantly off base. I understand contextually where he's coming from here, Max. Certainly, I don't think he meant it in a literal sense. For those who may have been living under a rock or maybe too young to know, Jim Crow laws were basically laws that enforced racial segregation in the southern states of the United States of America, and that had been that way until 1965. We understand that. If you take the meaning of it into context in terms of what Marvin Lewis was alluding to, Max, what he's trying to say is that essentially by hiring a black coach under those conditions, you will literally, even though they won't do so publicly, privately, it will be some sense of racial segregation. It's us against them mentality, separate and apart, because you're going to have so many people within the NFL community that are incredibly offended by such a rule having been implemented that they will react in a very negative fashion. And that's not something that would work to the benefit of qualified African-Americans who land those jobs, ultimately having to be subjected to that kind of nonsense.
All right, that's Stephen A. Smith, and he's obviously responding. Marvin Lewis had some comments. By the way, I love the way he explained it, that it would be disrespectful, and that's kind of that's the point that I was trying to make yesterday. And I'm not saying I have a solution, and I'm not sitting here with a list of 10 different things that I could name off that are better ideas. But I'm still surprised that the NFL, that's one of their ideas that they came out with. What about that coach or that GM that gets hired who's African-American or he's minority? And there is there's a stigma that he only got hired so they could move up 6 spots or 10 spots in the draft. I had a great call yesterday, Chris, and I forgot where he was calling from, but he said, hey, if that's how somebody can get their foot in the door, we'll take it. Because once you're in, then it's up to you from there to prove that, you know, you're the right person for the job. Okay, I can't argue with that either. That's definitely a perspective as well from somebody. Chris's case, he was African-American, and he was talking about how he wishes it was equal, but it's obviously not equal. So we'll see what the NFL continues to do on that front. Bill Shaken from the LA Times. He wrote an article this morning. Here's how much California stands to make from fan-free Major League Baseball games. And it goes to just kind of the financial side of what the state is dealing with. Do you guys remember this? A couple weeks ago, we thought there was no chance that there is going to be games here in the state of California. And I'm talking more about Major League Baseball. Because with the NBA, we already know they want to do this at one site, it seems like. But for baseball, there were a couple different ideas. There was this bubble in Arizona. There was games from your major league, you know, from your park. The Dodgers would get to play at Dodger Stadium. Angels would get a chance to play at Angel Stadium, but they would reduce travel. And we know all the different guidelines that are going to come with it. But the state of California didn't seem like was going to allow something like this. And then last week, Gavin Newsom, made an announcement. Let's see, it was the state of California, the state of Texas, and New York that, you know what? No, we're encouraging sports, and we think we're going to be able to get sports, you know, at the first week of June. And this obviously is, I think, directly to try and bring some of these professional teams, specifically baseball, back to the state of California. So when we come back, Bill Shaken will talk about that. We'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Bill Shaken. Here's how much California stands to make from fan-free MLB games. Bill Shaken from the LA Times joined the Sliwa Show. Bill, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Everything is good. I got a chance, obviously, an opportunity to read your article a little bit earlier today. I'll just ask. So, from your opinion, how much of Governor Newsom, obviously the governor of California, how much do you think his decision to allow sports back in California starting in June, we don't know exactly that time frame, is driven from a financial perspective?
I think public health and safety always comes first. Having said that, the governor has put together a task force of scores of business leaders, some from the sports world, some from outside it, and everybody is trying to figure out how to get business back in California in an orderly and timely fashion. And when the governor stands up and says, boy, this coronavirus has hit us so hard that a state that is required by law to run a balanced budget is projecting a $54 billion deficit for next year, you have to start thinking about economics. There's no way around it. And having baseball games without fans is not going to solve even one penny of every dollar of that deficit, but every little cent helps. And there's, I'm sure, some small part of his calculation that says, you know what, if I can make some money for our state by taxing baseball players who come to play here, even if those games have no fans, and I'm convinced the league can handle it safely. Yeah, I got to think about that.
Bill Shaken of the LA Times joined the Sliwa Show. What are the specifics of what California would gain? And what is you have in your article, and it's the first time I've ever heard this term, a jock tax. Can you kind of just explain for those who haven't got a chance to read it what exactly that means and what some of the financial benefits would be for the state?
Well, clearly athletes generally get paid a pretty high salary. Mm-hmm. And for about half a century now, this has been an issue in various states, but it basically came to national attention when the Lakers and Bulls were going at it in the playoffs in the 90s, and Michael Jordan came here and everybody was frustrated because of how good he was, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, are we taxing him? And the idea is, you should pay income tax based on where you work. And for athletes who travel around the country, they work in different places on different days. So the idea is if your working day is in California and you generate income by working in California, California should get your income tax for that day. Well, what's happened is other states have picked up on it. There are very few states now that don't. And if you're an athlete, your tax return is a mess. You got to hire somebody who's a specialist in that because, for example, if you play for the Dodgers and you're going to play in every other National League city over the course of the year and one division's worth of American League cities, that's quite a lot of states you got to figure out your tax base for. The key for California is that the income tax rate here, which is 13.3% in that bracket, is the highest in the country. So there's a lot of money to be made. And by not having games here this year at all, California would lose out on a ton of money.
Yeah, well, I think the timing of it as well, obviously seeing, and we'll see what happens in baseball. Of course, the hope is that they can figure this out. And, you know, some of it is from the health perspective, but it also seems like just internally between the union and the players, they're trying to see how they're going to divvy up that money. But California, just having five teams, you know, obviously represented in the state of California, there's, like you mentioned, a lot of money to lose if they didn't figure something out. So at least that part is pointing in the right direction. I want to use an NBA example. And this is something that you mentioned in the article. So without the Lakers and the Clippers playing at Staples Center, how much does that hurt the state in general? And I'm pointing that out because you are going to obviously have the Lakers, you know, hopefully a long playoff run. It looked like the Clippers were on a long playoff run up until they both would face each other in the Western Conference Finals. What is the significance with those teams? And, you know, it certainly looks like the NBA, if it does continue, it's not going to be here in California.
Right. So if you look at basketball teams, the number of players on each team is not the same as it would be in baseball or football, but the individual salaries are pretty high. And if the Lakers and Clippers had both made a run to where the NBA Western Conference Finals would have been those two teams competing, and then obviously one of them would have advanced to the finals, you would have had 27 extra games at Staples Center. So 27 chances to tax some of the world's most highly paid athletes, including, you know, players who would come from out of town that would not otherwise be taxed. But now, because those games, to the extent that they happen, will probably happen in Orlando or Las Vegas, the taxes for those days for LeBron and Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis, that's all out of state. So California loses there.
Bill Shakin from the LA Times joining the Sliwa Show. Bill, you had a portion too. How many jobs are coming from sports teams and events in LA and Orange County? And what dollar figures does that does the state and local tax generate locally off of that?
Yeah, when we're working on the story, we focused on the athlete tax because what we realized is, okay, the games might be played without fans, so you're not going to have the sales taxes you would from ticket sales and concessions and merchandise, and you won't have the income taxes from all the folks who work at the games selling you tickets and concessions and merchandise. But the LA Sports Council last year commissioned a study that showed that if you add up all the teams and all the events, and I mean things like the Rose Bowl or the LA Marathon as events, sure, that happen in LA and Orange County, you're talking about 39,000 jobs and taxes, both local and state, over $300 million.
Wow.
So the jock tax thing is a small percentage of that. But I think it does go to show that sports is one of the, I don't want to say lesser industries, it's certainly high profile, that's a lot of dollars, but, you know, there are industries that are far more lucrative to the state and to local governments than that. And I think that's the balance everybody's trying to figure out right now, is not only do we want people back at work so they can earn salaries, but governments need tax dollars coming in so they can provide the services that citizens are used to as well. And how do you balance that versus make sure you're not making everybody sicker and sending everybody back to the hospital? It's not an enviable position to be in at all.
So. Bill, what did you say was the projected? Did you say this month they're projected the state of $54 billion deficit?
Governor Newsom stood up earlier in the month and said that everything's happened with the coronavirus. People are out of work and factories are closed and all that. That the state projects a $54 billion budget deficit for the next fiscal year. So, and, you know, unlike the federal government, where there is no real concern about the national debt because you can just print your own money, the state doesn't have that ability. The state, by law, has to run a balanced budget. So they're going to have to figure out ways to get money out of the federal government and how to figure out how to turn back the economy and then, you know, see where they go from there.
Well, it's a great piece, Bill. And I know for, you know, someone like myself, and I'm sure there's many listeners out there listening in their cars or on the podcast, on the app. I'm sure there's many out there that, you know, they don't know how the type of effects this has. And I think when you explained it for the entire state of California, it really kind of puts things in perspective. You also just put out another article, Dodger fans, this is Bang Up Astros Bobblehead. Can you tell us a little bit about your new piece?
Yeah, so you would have thought that maybe with the coronavirus pandemic that people would have forgotten about the Astros, but they have not, at least not here in Los Angeles. So when we do stories on the Astros, people like reading them. And so we found out that the St. Paul Saints, an independent minor league team in Minnesota, had announced plans actually earlier this year to do an Astros-themed bobblehead with a trash can and a character barking out pitches and banging on the trash can and pointing out some good fun at the Astros. And, of course, now their games are in jeopardy of not being played as a minor league team. So they decided yesterday, why don't we go ahead and sell the bobbleheads online just to see what would happen. And in the first 4 hours, they sold more than 1,000 because, you know, even in Minnesota, I guess people love to hate on the Astros.
Well, I don't think that's going to go anywhere for a while. I think the Astros avoided, at least for a short period of time, some of those boos because there won't be no fans, it doesn't seem like, in the near future. But eventually, they'll get theirs. It will come.
Yeah.
It will come one way or the other. Bill, always appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, and hope you have a great weekend and a safe weekend. All right? Thanks for joining the show.
All right. You too. Thank you.
All right. That's Bill Shaken right there from the LA Times. Man, we've had some great, great writers and journalists on the show here over the last couple of months. They're grinding. They're all obviously trying to make sure they come up with stories, and we're doing the same thing here. And I think the one thing that I will say is I feel like, and I've said this a few different times, I always feel like there's some kind of story that's coming out. So I know that we can, you know, as best as we can, try and put together a show around that front. Jamal Crawford was on the Platform Basketball podcast. I mentioned a little bit earlier how good The Last Dance did. Well, Jerry Krause, who didn't exactly get the best image in the time over those 10 documentaries, he had a plan. He had an image, and Jamal Crawford will explain that coming up next. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. So a little bit earlier I talked about this Last Dance, their numbers, and how the documentary obviously lived up to expectations. So they averaged 5.6 million viewers per episode, most watched ESPN documentary of all time. One of the big subjects, and this is actually right out the gate when this documentary started, before you knew it, you knew who Jerry Krause was. You knew his role, obviously, with the Chicago Bulls, and you knew the vision that he had of trying to break up the Bulls because he wanted to build something on his own, which I'm gonna look at it both ways for Jerry Krause. Number one, give the guy credit because a lot of the reason why the Bulls were in that position to win championships, he put together a great roster. And then the other side of it, why he was trying to break it up is beyond comprehension, simply because you were having such an incredible amount of success. You were building a dynasty. Money was flowing in. But I don't think he felt like he was getting the credit. So Jamal Crawford on the Platform Basketball podcast said that Jerry Krause had this vision, and this is his thoughts on what Jerry Krause was trying to build.
My first year and second year, we're the youngest team in the league, right? And the fans knew, like, okay, it's going to be a rebuilding year. But my rookie year, Jerry thought he was going to get Grant Hill, Tim Duncan, and
– Oh, wow.
You got
You got to explain that.
So obviously, MJ just retired, right?
Yeah.
We have all this cap space. And so we have all these rookies, and he was like, we're going to get – go back and look. I guarantee Grant, Tim, and T-Mac were all free agents. And Jerry wholeheartedly believed we would get all three of them. Even if we get two of them at
right,
the time.
Right,
right.
Y'all would have picked them right where y'all left.
All right, so there's some ideas that are out there that you say, hey, that's a great idea. I think there's a chance for it. I think we have an opportunity for this. And then there's other ideas out there, including that one. The Chicago Bulls have been rebuilding for 23 years. they've been rebuilding for a long time. And it is kind of unfortunate. We did this a lot during the week, that there was a franchise that you're curious to see. Can another team knock them off? Or internally, is the front office going to be the only one who's going to break up that team and make them finally lose? And it wasn't in an NBA final because they never had that chance at championship number 7. But ideas like this, you know, Jerry Krause had this vision. I'm going to build this thing on my own. The year prior, he was trying to trade Scottie Pippen for Tracy McGrady. You heard some of those reports come out. Ego. Ego got the best of Jerry Krause. He deserves a lot of credit for helping build the team that he did. But at the end of the day, damn, he had a big reason to do with that dynasty ending. But Jerry Reinsdorf, who's the owner of the Chicago Bulls, okay, take more control of your team. I saw this a little bit earlier, too. This has been out for the last day or so. The Nets have internally discussed ways to acquire Wizard star Bradley Beal. So Bradley Beal, I know he's on a 2-year, $72 million extension. I think he signed that last year. Obviously, the Wizards, not a good team. But if they somehow found a way to add Bradley Beal, who's going to play your 2, Kyrie Irving's your 1, and you got Kevin Durant there as well, yeah, that Brooklyn team, that's going to be obviously the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Them and the Bucks would be battling every year, but that's some true star power. So something to keep in mind as we we get into the offseason and everything else. And also something to keep in mind, and I mentioned this earlier, I don't know if some of these teams, who knows, maybe the Wizards have a chance to still fight for that 8th seed. I don't know what the NBA is going to eventually do about all that when it comes to that final 8th playoff seed, when they do kind of get the structure of the NBA all down. So we'll all be waiting on that front. A couple quick thank yous. So appreciate Sam Amick for joining the show, and thank you to Bill Shaken for joining the show. As we wrap up this week, I want to wish everybody a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Obviously, spend some time with family, social distancing. We all got to abide by those rules right now. But at the same time, nothing wrong with enjoying a great weekend. And then we're back on Tuesday. So Tuesday I'll have Lakers talk. Jesse and Curtis will be back as well. So we'll get the show going from there. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a great long weekend.